let's remain standing. We'll read our text together tonight. We'll try to bring the message God's laid on our heart. I don't know if anything else can go wrong. If it can, I'll assure you it will. That's not on there. So now, if it pops off again, I'm going to tell you what. My patience is very thin tonight. So duck. Amen. No, I hope it don't get that bad. I'm glad I can laugh about it. I'm glad we're not in an uptown church. If we was, they'd have to close the service down for that. Preacher dropped the lapel mic twice in a row. That's unheard of. And they just about have to call off service because of that. But I'm glad I'm not in an uptown church. That's right. And there's not, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's not many saved people in uptown churches. Amen. They are socialites. And they're there for a social gathering rather than for a spiritual feast. And we come to church. When I come to church, I don't come. I enjoy fellowship, but I don't come for a social gathering. I come to feast on the Word of God and to get something in my heart that will enable me to overcome the daily trials of life. And they are daily. I know many times we want to look at troubles. When the preacher is talking about troubles, we want to look at one specific problem that seems to be a major thing overwhelming us. But a lot of times we fail to recognize or look at those little foxes along the way, those little daily things that really greatly trouble us and prevent us from serving God. You know, you can go out on the job, and if nothing goes right, everything goes wrong, whether it's a day job, night job, whatever kind of job it is, you come home in the evenings, you're not in too good a shape, we might say. You might as well nod your head up and down and say amen. You know that's right. And when you're not really up and at them, you're not apt to pick up the Bible. You're apt to sit there and wonder what and think about all those little headaches that develop during the day. That the next day, those little headaches that develop today just didn't amount to anything really the next day. But I'll tell you, they're there a whole lot to hinder you in your service to God,
right.
Keep you out of the Bible, keep you away from prayer, and keep you from coming to church with a spiritual appetite for and desire to meet with God. But I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Little John, 1 John. 1 John, we call him Little John, amen, 1 John. And chapter number 2, 1 John chapter number 2. And I want to begin reading in verse number 18 of that chapter. 1 John and chapter number 2 and verse 18. And the Bible says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised to us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received from him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know that he is righteous. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that reading of his word. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the word of God that you placed upon my heart to preach from tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the great truth that I'm confident that we find in these verses. I want to thank you for thy people that have been so faithful to the house of God. And I know they have needs in their life. I pray that you'll meet them. Lord, there's no help in the sepulcher of ourselves, but there is help in Christ. Help us to trust only in thee and put our full confidence and dependency upon the Lord. I pray that you'd save sinners tonight. I pray you'd revive your people. I pray, Lord, that you'd fill me with the spirit of wisdom and power and unctionize me and grant me the liberty tonight to preach the word of God. I pray, Lord, for your divine presence. Breathe upon us, I pray. May the wind from another world blow through this place tonight, blessing and stirring the hearts of your people, regenerating souls and reviving the saints. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to call our attention tonight to verse number 26. Is the verse that I'm going to try to draw the thought from to preach on for just a little while, if God will be my helper. It's here that John, the beloved apostle, he that leaned upon the bosom of Christ in the upper room, he that seemed to be one of the three in the inner circle that fellowshiped more closely with the Lord, and John writes these words, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Concerning them that seduce you. I want to preach for a little while tonight. Stay right with me. I'm going to try to do the best I can. And stay right with me if you can. Amen me. Try to smile at me and help me a little bit. But I want to try to preach for a little while tonight on this thought. Who's tugging on your heart? Who is it that's tugging on your heart, pulling you away from Christ? Who is it that is spiritually seducing you? John said that he was writing to these believers concerning them that was seducing them spiritually. That is, drawing them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to continue our study tonight on the Antichrist. And I want us to keep this in mind as we study along these lines, that the Antichrist is not just a plan or a scheme of the devil. The Antichrist is not just a mere influence that is in the world today. And the Antichrist is not some religious organization like the Roman Catholics. A lot of people have the idea that the Antichrist is the Pope and the beast is Roman Catholicism. But I don't believe that for a moment. But he is a real person. The Antichrist is a real person. who opposes all that is godly, all that is holy, and all that is righteous. You can write that down in your little black book tonight. That there is a man of sin, a man of perdition, the Bible calls him, and he opposes or will oppose everything that is holy, everything that is righteous, and everything that is godly. Now, stay right with me. He stands diametrically opposed to the Christian, to Christianity, and to the church. The Antichrist hates the people of God. He hates the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he hates the church that Christ died to purchase. And I say to you on the authority of the Word of God tonight that we as saved people are a hated people. This man the Bible calls a man of sin hates you, if I can use this old Indiana brogue, with a purple passion. He despises the ground that you walk on. And he will, through his influence, do everything that he can do to hinder you from your service from God. He'll try his best to discourage you and to disappoint you. He'll try his best to make you believe that God is not real and the Bible is a lie. And by him telling you that, proves that he is a liar within himself. He's trying to make you not believe something that the Bible declares he's a part of. Now, if you can get a hold of that, that went over some of his head. He's telling you the Bible is not real, and God is not real, heaven is not real, salvation cannot be had, and yet he is talked about in the very book that he denies, and he's trying to cram a lie down your throat. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, about his pappy, that he is a liar and the father of lies. Because the son of perdition is, listen, he is the son of Satan himself upon this earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll try to get somewhere in a minute. Now here in our text, John said, even now, not tomorrow, I'm talking about 2,000 years ago, even now there are many antichrists. Their ideologies and characteristics are exactly the same as the Antichrist. And they're in the world today, but they are not him. They have the same plan, and that is to seduce the people of God and lead them astray. In fact, the word seduce in our text simply means to lead astray. Oh, somebody said, preacher, I thought John was a book of love. Well, it is a book of love. It tells about God's love. But it also tells about little antichrist, not the antichrist, but little antichrist that are doing all within their power to lead you astray. That is, to lead you away from God. I want to ask you tonight, who is it or what is it that is tugging on your heart trying to pull you away from God? I remember years ago, we was on a radio marathon and some fella from up in Indiana brought it. It wasn't part of my plan, but it served its purpose. People are still talking about it today. He came and set a television set down out in front for the front door. And it had a man, a dummy, stuck in the television screen of that old junky television set. And had a sign on top of it, said another Christian sucked back into the world. Come on in the house now. Amen. Now I'm telling you that is exactly what these antichrists are trying to do. They're trying to give you a form of religion, but they deny the power thereof, and they're doing their best to suck you back out into the world and give you a form of religion, but denying the very power of that religion that you claim that you possess. Amen. Come on in the house and help me. Somebody else say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men, listen now, and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That tells me Paul said things along this line are not going to get any better. That the longer the world stands, the more seducers there's going to be in the world. I'm talking about little imps that are led about by the devil himself. Some of them may have sat or are sitting on church pews beside people in local independent Baptist churches tonight. You would be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, at the number of people that the devil plants in the house of God to for no other reason than try to seduce the people of God. And come on now, and they will prey on those that are weak and those that are misguided and do their best to lead them astray and lead them away from God. I want to ask you tonight, who is it tonight that's tugging on your heart, trying to pull you away from God? Amen. Is anybody listening? Amen. He said they'll wax worse and worse. And get this, deceiving and being deceived. Now I'm telling you, that's hard to get a hold of. But they will deceive people and lead people astray so far that they themselves will even become deceived on what they're trying to deceive people by. I'm talking about a mixed up crowd. Honey, I'm telling you, I've never seen such a mixed up crowd as what there are in Bible-believing, independent, fundamental, soul-winning, King James 1611 Bible churches in America that we're living in today. Amen. I'm talking about a bunch of mixed up dudes, buddy. Amen. Hallelujah. We ought to be able to stand ready at any moment to give any man that asks us a reason for the hope that lies within us. Yet you'd be amazed at the people that really can't give you a real reason for the hope that is in them. Can I give you one reason? September the 13th, honey, 1970. I'm telling you, God gave me a reason for the season. I'm not sucking on a jug tonight. Praise God. I'm in the house of God drinking from a fountain that never shall run dry. And it's all because Christ loved me and died on Calvary. And my hope, my life, my being, my everything is in Him tonight. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Anybody listening? Now, the word there, seducers, in Timothy 3:13, you know what it means? It means juggling imposters. You know what an imposter is, don't you? Somebody that can really play the part. When Lisa had that wreck a couple of weeks ago, a fella came up behind her and saw the whole situation, got out of his car, wanted to know if they were all right. So asked her why the fella was in that caused the accident, called her to wreck, why he left the scene of the accident. She said, "Sir, I have no earthly idea." And the man hung around a while and he pulled a card out of his pocket and said, "Here is my card with my phone number. If you need the police need anything from me as far as to verify what happened, they can call me on this number." And it had a man's name, had his picture on it, and had his phone number on it, and it had on the bottom of it, Kenny Rogers impersonator. And Lisa said, I'm here to tell you, that man looked exactly like Kenny Rogers. And what he did was go, he made his living by impersonating Kenny Rogers. He's an imposter. He's not the real thing, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm telling you, there's a lot of folk that are called tares in Baptist churches that look like the real thing, but they're an imposter. They're not the real thing. They're a tare amongst the wheat. They're no more than an imposter of the real McCoy. Hallelujah to God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And they went out from us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they no doubt would have remained with us. Amen. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. And I've got news for you. John ain't talking about they didn't necessarily fit in this fellowship. John's talking about a crowd that went out from real believers because they wasn't real believers. They're imposters. They're seducers. They're liars that denies the Father and the Son. Oh, somebody said, I've heard folks, preacher, talk about how much they love God. I have too. I've heard them talk about how much they love God this week and cuss me out the next week. Amen. Hang in there. It'll get worse. Now, in 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul issues a strong warning. He said, now the Spirit, that is a capital Spirit, meaning Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, what are you talking about, Brother Hall? I'm talking about that falling away, ladies and gentlemen, that Paul talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that's going to take place before that man of sin is ever revealed. I believe he's on the scene tonight because I have never seen such a falling away from the body of truth. I'm not talking about a verse. I'm talking about the whole entire body of truth. Amen. There's more to this thing of salvation than trotting down to the church house a couple of times a week. There is a body of truth that we're called upon to believe. Now there's a whole lot of folks. You don't have to deny all of it to be lost. I mean, here's a crowd that the Bible said they denied the Son. And if they deny the Son, they don't have the Father. Now, that may refer to that crowd, that bunch of Pharisees in Jesus' day. They denied the Lord Jesus to the toes of the hilt, friend, but they claimed they had the Father. Jesus said, if you'd have known me, you'd have known the Father also. Amen. Now, hey, come on in the house. Now, I'm telling you, there's a crowd that denies the Son, ladies and gentlemen. They don't have the Father. But I'm going to tell you what bothers me. There's a crowd today that denies the Father. And he said, if they deny the Father, they don't have the Son either.
Amen.
And I believe he's referring to the Holy Trinity. Son, if you trample the Trinity of God under your feet, the Bible teaches it as plain as day, I'm telling you that you are anti-Christ. You are opposed to the work of God upon this earth. Hallelujah to God. That got a big amen. But it's a fact. You better believe it is. Everybody listening to me? Hang right in there now. Amen. Even our Lord gives reference concerning this great spiritual seduction that is to come upon the earth in the last days. Mark 13:22. He says, for false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. False Christs and false prophets or false preachers will come upon the earth. If it were possible, they would even seduce the very elect. But I'm about ready now to run my head through the wall. But I'm glad that us that have been to Calvary, that we have an anointing from the Father. We have an option from the Holy One, and need not that any man teach us anything concerning what I'm talking about tonight, because the Holy Ghost that dwells in us is enough to be our teacher, to tell us that there is a God that died for us, and if we deny that God, there's only one recourse. Are you listening? Listen carefully now. Everybody stay right with me. Amen. He said, if it seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who's tugging on your heart? Who's pulling on you? Who is trying to seduce you?
Right.
Well, I've seen it over and over again.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, I've seen them creep into the flock. I've seen them creep into the flock, and I'm going to tell you who they'll try to prey on. They'll try to prey on the sick. That is the weak.
Right.
The elderly. Those that are weak. They don't never tackle that big, what do they call him? A male ram. What do they call him? A ewe? Is that a female? What do they call a male? A ram? They don't tackle him. They want them little ones.
Right.
They want them young and tender ones. I'm going to tell you who they'll get a hold of if they can. They'll get a hold of anybody, especially young people, that are not grounded in the Word of God.
Right.
Oh, and come on in the house. Somebody say amen. Now, I'm just preaching on the Antichrist.
Right.
You ought to be jumping up and down saying amen.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, they will play on those that are weak.
Amen.
Those that are not grounded in the Word of God. And they'll tug on them and tug on them until they lead them astray from Bible doctrine and Bible truth and away from the house of God. I want to ask some of you young folks that's in here, what's happened to your ring and the thing you used to have? And some of you don't even sing anymore, much less ringing anymore. Hallelujah. What's happened to the choir? I wish we had that one old man here. We'll let him sing in the choir. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, of course, this first point's very easy to recognize. But who's tugging on your heart? Look at verse 18. Little children, it is the last time that you have heard that Antichrist shall come. He's not here yet. Even now there are many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, I've already preached some of this, but I'm going to preach it again. And I will say the first person that I believe is tugging on our hearts are Antichrist. There are those that are against God and opposed to Christianity and the church. I'm talking about the real church. I've never seen Baptists play dominoes in my life like I have the 19 years that I've been at Island Ford Baptist Church. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's pop up here and pop out and pop somewhere else, and they're looking for the perfect church, and they're not going to find it. They ever do, I hope to God they don't join it, they'll destroy it because they're not perfect.
Amen.
Now, I don't blame anybody for leaving a liberal mess, but I'm telling you, I know people that have left Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches.
Right. Yes, sir.
We having fun.
Preach.
Hallelujah. Antichrist. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. What does that mean? Hey, how are they tugging on our heart? By denial. By denial. Notice verse number 22. Keep your Bible open. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now you've got to get a hold of that. Hey, that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Now I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's Christmas time, and that's a whole lot deeper than saying I believe Jesus was born in a manger one day. He's the Christ. He is the Messiah.
Yes.
He is the Deliverer. And I'm telling you, we sang a song, and I don't want to cause you to get irritated, but it's part true and it's part untrue. We sang that song, the King of Israel. He is not just the King of Israel. That Bible said that He is a King of Kings. And He is just as much a King to the Gentiles as He is to Israel. Thank God He's my King. Hallelujah. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He is coming again. Now here's where they deny. Oh, you've been talking about His coming all these years, Hall, and He ain't showed up yet. I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God, if He don't show up until I go in the grave, I'll go to the grave believing that He's coming the next day.
Amen.
Amen. Better believe He's coming. And I'm telling you, you'd be amazed at the people, especially young people, that are gullible enough. Now here's where the problem happens. They deny Him as the Christ, as the coming Messiah. Oh, He's not coming now. And I'm going to tell you, when you say He's not coming now, what you're doing is giving young people and anybody else that wants to an opportunity, a little liberty to just stray from God and sin a little bit and live ever how they want if they really don't believe He's coming now, because they have been taught that He's not coming now. But I've been preaching 19 years that He may come now. Amen. And that we ought to live as though He is coming right now. I asked just this morning, let me ask it again. If you died right now, the trumpet sounded, are you ready to meet Him? Are you paid up and prayed up? Have you worshiped up? Did you sing the best you could? When He comes, He'd come tonight, would He look at you and say, my God, you sound like a croaking canary trying to sing tonight. You sound like a crow instead of a dove. And some of you didn't even open your mouth. My Lord, we come to church to worship God. Amen. I might run back there and preach a little bit to Jacob. Y'all give me about 5 minutes in that back room with him. I believe he needs a little preaching tonight. And to try to get a hold of him a little bit. Stay right with me now. By denial. Then I want to say number two, these antichrists, they tug on people's heart by deception. In verse number 24, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. I want to stop right there. Pause. Let me slow down. If what you've heard from the beginning, everybody that's been here my 19 years, would you stand up? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Anybody been here 18 years? Stand up. Stay up. 18 years. I thought y'all better get up over there. October made 18 years. I ain't dumb. 17. 16. Stay up now. I don't want nobody to sit down. 16. 15. 14. 13. 12. 11. 10. 9. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Got everybody in the house. Now, listen to what I'm telling you, what this verse of Scripture just got done saying does. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. He's not talking about the beginning of time. He's not even talking about the beginning of the ministry of Christ. He is talking about from the beginning when you first heard the word of your salvation. I can take you over, if I want to prove it, over to the book of Thessalonians and show you where they continued in the word from the day they heard it and brought forth fruit unto God. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying if you abide in what you have heard from the beginning, come on now. He says you shall continue therein.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But ain't no pulling out.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you got the goods, you ain't going nowhere. I learned a long time ago what side of my bread had the butter on it and who smeared the butter on it, and I ain't going nowhere from her. So why would I want to come to a place where I first heard the gospel of my soul, the salvation of my soul, and was saved by the grace of God? Tell me, why on earth would I ever want to depart from the place where I got born again by the grace of God? And yet every one of us in here know people. They claim they got saved right here. They heard it here, they got it here, but they didn't continue here.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you why they didn't continue here. Because what they heard didn't abide in them.
Amen.
That means remain, friend.
Amen.
Ain't we having fun tonight?
Amen.
I hope, if anything, I can throw a little fear in some of you.
Go ahead.
I'm telling you, pull out! Jump off! Jump! Get off the ship! But it's no time to get off the ship. If you've heard the word of the truth of your son, you know without a doubt you're saved by the grace of God. It's not a time to get on board the ship. It's not a time to quit on God. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, to pick up a rowing paddle and bless God, begin to labor for Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. Now you can be seated. He's pretty clear on that. If you abide in which you have heard from the beginning, you shall also continue in the Father, in the Son, and in the Father. What my text says. I won't say number three, these antichrists will tug on your heart by delusion. Somebody said, preacher, what on earth do I'm talking about? By misleading the mind, by using a mixture of error and a mixture of truth. The Bible said in verse 27, that the anointing ye have received of Him abideth in you. Praise God. That word anointing means the smear of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost remaineth in you. Somebody said, oh, you got to get, when you get the Holy Ghost, you pray in tongues. Maybe they prayed in tongues when they got it. When I got saved, I didn't pray in no tongues. I couldn't hardly speak English. But I got Him. Somebody said, how you know you got Him? Changed my life. Amen. I won't tell you this. I went to Rumsey, 1981. That old little building over there was just the paint was just rolled up on it. Benny remembers it. Miss Hall and Lisa here, they remember it. Paint was rolled up on it, and the sun had baked it hard on a brick. I've never seen anything like it. We rented pressure washers and washed that thing off and painted her down with white paint. Made her look as good as we could, cleaned up on the inside. It forever smelled like fish. Every time the Green River got out of the banks, it got in the church, and it smelled like fish constantly. I mean, it just, you could have a fish fry in there every Sunday, friend, if you wanted to. But I told that to say this. An old boy went down there with us, and it was a professional painter named Bobby Goff. Bobby's a grown man now. He's made 5 or 6 stabs at being saved. He's been baptized with every tadpole in Indiana, knows them all by Social Security number. But old Bobby, Brother Steve, just never could make the grade. He'd just come for a little while, and he'd fade away and drop out and fall to the wayside, and then a little bit he'd come back. He come walking in during our revival meeting, this last meeting at Brother Nolan's, I preached up there with some guy with a little hat on, a pair of tennis shoes, and had on a pair of Bermuda shorts. We was already in the service. And he come walking through that front door, and you walk in the front door, you're in the auditorium. He come walking in that front door and says, tears are rolling. He said, I want everybody to know I come here tonight to find God in my life. He stood back there and listened to me preach, and I gave him an invitation. He headed out and went over on the wall, prayed, and I went over there and tried to pray with him a little bit, and he got up and went back to his seat, and I said, Bobby, did you get it? He said, I don't know whether I have or not. He said, I'm just so confused. I'm tired of running. He said, I'm sick. I'm tired of the life that I'm living, preacher. He said, I don't think I can live any longer. He said, I don't know why God brought me here tonight if I can't get saved. I said, you get over and talk to him the right way, you'll get in. Old Bobby got back over in that corner, and we got over praying with him, praying for him, got a gang of men around him, got to praying. In a little while, he come up and he said, I've got her, boys. Praise God. The tears was a rolling. He said, I feel a joy and a peace I've never had in all my life. Hallelujah. He said, I got in tonight. I know I got in tonight by the grace of God. And he looked over at me and he said, I'm just telling you what he said. He said, can you recommend me a good book to read and teach me how to shout? He said, I'm going to try it one time. Amen. I said, boy, you sound all right to me. Keep right on. Somebody said, what are you saying? Well, this not today, but last Sunday morning before I came to church, my cell phone rang. I didn't have any idea. I said, what in the world is that? A Louisville phone number. I picked up that telephone, and old Bobby said, this preacher called. I said, it's me. Who is this? He said, Brother Bobby. I said, amen. I said, is it still good? He said, Brother Gary, I'm going to get baptized after church this morning. He said, for the first time, I'm going down a saved guy coming up, praise God, baptized in the right way. He said, I've never had such joy as I've had in all my life these last few weeks. Yeah. He said, I know without a doubt I got the real thing this time. Hallelujah, and I'm having a ball.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Now, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying he never got it them times.
Right.
And it's the tugging and the pulling from another party that I can't go into detail on. The pulling and the tugging from another party. He just couldn't hang with it. And that Antichrist. That Antichrist kept pulling on him.
Right.
And how was they pulling on him? Misleading him. Misdirecting him, misguiding him. And old Bobby said, praise God. He said, I know that I got it now. But I'm telling you, if you don't think that they won't play on your mind, listen to what it says, but the anointing you have received of him abideth in you. You need not that any man teach you, but that the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, listen to this, ye shall abide in him. I don't know about you, but that word says shall. That's the strongest word of affirmation in the Bible.
Amen.
That word literally, hey, great assurance. You shall abide in Him. I didn't write it. God wrote it. Now, this next point is going to get some of you for a real loop. So hang right with me. I said the first person that's tugging on some of his heart's Antichrist. The second person that's tugging on some of your all's hearts is acquaintances.
Amen.
Acquaintances that you know that are tugging on your heart.
Yes, sir.
Listen carefully. Psalm 55, 12 and 13. For it was not my enemy. This is David talking. For it was not my enemy that reproached me. He said, then I could have borne it. I'm going to tell you something. If it's my enemy that is reproaching me, that I know that I'm battling my enemy, son, I'll tell you, I can bear up and under that. But when it's your friend, when it's your old familiar friend that sat at your table, that has risen up their heel against you, like in this case, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that your acquaintances can tug on your heart, and not only can, they will.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
Now I'm telling you, the devil will bring people across your life. That's why he said, try the spirits to see what sort they're of. For every spirit that's come into the world, ladies and gentlemen, is not a godly, holy spirit.
Yeah.
And by listening, come on now. He said, neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I could have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance.
Right.
And that's David talking about Ahithophel when Absalom rose up against him. And old Ahithophel, somebody told David, said, Ahithophel is in the conspiracy. Oh, David said, turn the counsel of Ahithophel. And I forget exactly the words he used, but turn it in the wrong direction. Now I'm telling you, Ahithophel, you know who Ahithophel was? He was a grandpappy of Bathsheba. And he never could get it out of his crawl that David went to bed with his granddaughter. And buddy, I'm telling you, he sat at David's table. He smiled at David. He had his arm around David. Him and David even went up to the house of God. I believe that's who he's talking about in Psalm 42. They went up on the house of God on the holy day. I believe he's talking about Ahithophel there. And by the way, I believe Ahithophel and I believe Judas Iscariot are types of that Antichrist. In fact, I believe they are. I believe the Antichrist will be Ahithophel and Judas is head incarnate in the world.
Wait.
No, I'm telling you. That's right. I believe Judas Iscariot was Ahithophel incarnate. They both went out and hung themselves. Both of them. Went out and hung themselves. And I'm telling you. Ahithophel had sat at David's table and was dear bosom friends. No doubt told David how many times he loved him. I'm going to tell you all the time. Are you listening? There was people all around David that Ahithophel was tugging on.
Right.
It wasn't only Absalom. It was Ahithophel, and it wasn't only Ahithophel. I believe I could prove Joab was right in the middle of all of it. Come on, are you getting anything out of this? I'm talking about those acquaintances, friend, that tell you how much they love you.
Right.
And yet they're tugging on your heart, trying to pull you away. Amen. There's no doubt that when the Bible talks about the conspiracy of Absalom, one place it said, and the conspiracy was strong. That is, more and more people was turning their hearts toward Absalom, and Ahithophel was right in the midst of it. I wonder how many people. This is going to bend your toes back sideways. I wonder how many people have sat on these church pews and whispered sweet nothings in some of your ears and done their best to turn you against Brother Hall in a sweet, loving, little kind way. Not coming dogmatically out and saying he's a babbling idiot, but in a roundabout way, he don't really know what he's talking about. He don't know what he's preaching. He just, you know, he just up there carrying on, and there's no real liberty and power of God in the house of God. And Hall is really not rightly dividing the Word of God.
Friend.
Acquaintances, friend. Now, I want you to hang on to this. Don't leave me now. How do they tug on your heart? Boy, this is going to go over big here. By gaining your affection. The Bible said in Psalm 41, yea, mine old familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Oh, come on now. You'd be surprised at the people that will gain your affection. And I learned a long time ago, if we're not real careful, that our affections will run deeper than spiritual matters in our heart. Friend, I'm telling you, I love, hey, if my grandma was alive, I love my grandma, but I'm not about to side in with my grandma if she stands against the man of God, if she stands against the church and stands against the truth. Grandma will have to go her own way.
Amen.
That's right. I love my children. No greater love hath a man than he has for his children. But I made up my mind a long time ago that I'm not even going to let my children lead me away from God. Y'all think I've been rough on people. Now, I don't say this to their embarrassment, but I made Angie and Ben stand right here and apologize to this church. Now I'm here to, hey, I love them with as much as a man can love them. But I'm telling you, right's right and wrong is wrong. And when we let our affections turn our hearts against truth and let that affection tug on our heart, it will pull us away from God and reality. I see some of y'all has already turned green. I guess I hope you ain't got the bug. I hope it's my preaching that's got you turned green. Affection. I'm telling you, affection runs a whole lot deeper a lot of times than truth does. Especially, come on now. Let me go back to that children thing. Who, my kids?
Yeah.
You trying to tell me my kids? Have done wrong? How do you know it? Who saw it? Who told you?
Preach.
Come on in the house. We're preaching tonight, friend. I'm telling some of you, it's got little ones in here. Before you brag too much, you better wait till they're teenagers.
Amen.
See how you stand when they're teenagers and they want to get out and flirt with the world a little while. See how you stand then. Will you stand with a man of God when he tells them they're wrong? Or are you going to stand with your children? I'm telling you, if you stand with your children, they've tugged on your heart by affection and they're seducing you away from God.
Amen. That's right.
We got to love our children. I understand that. And I'm telling you right now, friend, I made up my mind a long time ago. I don't intend to let nobody lead me away from Jesus. Nobody.
Amen.
Not even my wife. I would never think she would. In fact, if it hadn't been for her, I'd probably quit a long time ago. She's helped me along, Brother Doug. Well, she wanted to preach for me tonight. Now, you know we ain't allowing that around here. No women preachers around here, buddy. Now they do it by gaining affection. Listen carefully. They do it by granting them acceptance. Now I know this is hard. I know it is. But Proverbs 18:5 says, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Now I'm here to tell you that sometimes we will accept anybody. I know men, I'm not going to call their names because you know them. They call themselves Baptists. They ain't a bit more a Baptist than I am a giraffe.
Go ahead.
They will allow any kind of a baptism into their church.
Right.
If a Greek Orthodox baptized somebody, I know independent Baptist preachers that'll take that baptism and let them into the church. I'm telling you, we have forgotten the moral dignity of baptism.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That it is an ordinance of the church.
Yes.
And I'm just bullheaded enough to believe that the church is a Baptist church.
Amen.
Amen. Tell me some other one that it is.
Go ahead.
It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. That other crowd out there that all preachers falling from grace, you know what they're doing? They're telling me that the blood of Christ is not sufficient to save them and keep them.
Amen.
That certainly is not the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not about to take an Armenian baptism from nobody. Say amen right there. But I know Baptist churches that would take anybody's baptism. You know why? Praise God. We're not in this thing for numbers. That is, outwardly. I heard a preacher in one of the camp meetings we was in just recently. One of the main speakers jumped up and said, I'm going to tell you right now, I am in it for numbers. Said numbers is in the Bible. The Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. I said, somebody needs to take that dear man of God aside and talk to him. If he thinks numbers is there because God is interested in numbers in the church, he wants people to be saved. I'd readily agree with that. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to compromise. Because if you compromise, what you'll do, you won't get them saved, you'll get them religious.
Right. Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, get that crowd religious, and you know what you'll do? You accept them. And then they grow on you. And you just couldn't stand to see them go when things blows up. That's why most of the time it's a preacher that goes.
Right.
I've been here 19 years and ain't went yet.
Amen.
You may raise up against me tomorrow. But I want to remind you, if you do, that crowd rose up against Moses a whole lot. And Moses didn't go anywhere for him.
Right.
Well, you're put there by God.
Yes, sir.
I know I'm long and it's y'all's wanting to go home. It's 8 o'clock. Probably got the best movie on TV. I'm going to say thirdly, by joining their activity.
Right.
The Bible says in Romans 16:17-18, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. I won't say this. I won't get a little laugh out of you. You seem like you're down. It's me, Brother Doug, Brother Steve, Brother George. We have all took the mark of the obese. Come on now. Help me out a little bit. Well, that didn't go over either. This must not be my night. I'm trying to help you. The mark of the beast, you know what I'm saying? The mark of obese. Catch it after a while. Oh, thank you. Everybody finally laughed. Hallelujah. We're Kentuckians, ain't we? It takes a while. Now, I beseech you, brethren, Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine which you have heard, and avoid them. For they serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the people.
Right.
And so, hey, we're to mark them. That cause divisions contrary to the doctrine that you have learned. And doctrine there, somebody said, oh, that's just talking about the incarnation, the death, and the resurrection, and the second coming. Oh, no. One more time. That's talking about the body of truth.
Yes, sir.
In the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, I'm here to tell you that there will be acquaintances, friend, that will do their best. If you join in their activities, get on their bandwagon. Everybody's doing it. Is that right? I don't do it. We picked up back there a few weeks ago, and I'm going to let this drop, I hope. But while it's fresh, I'm still going to stay on it because we've joined in their activities. And I'm telling you, I found out that young people can be some of the sneakiest little devils that ever walked.
Go ahead.
We found out that a young person in a church we know had a little Bebo page. You know what introduced that Bebo page? All you old folks, are you listening? The wing, a wet, the wing, a wet, the wing, a wet, the wing. Now, we can smile about that. But I'm telling you, I don't care if it's back in the 50s, it's still rock and roll.
Right. Amen.
And I don't want kids in here listening to rock and roll.
Amen.
Now, I'll do all I can do to stop it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm about to close. Somebody said, thank God. I'm about to lose my voice. It's the only reason I'd like to preach to you all night. Just show you I could. Antichrist, acquaintances, and here's the last thing. Adventures. Adventures will tug on your heart. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? The word adventure means something that is a hazard, a risk, a chance, that which has no direction to it whatsoever.
Right.
Now, in these adventures, there's three things, and I'll name them quickly and I'm done. There's unforeseen events. The Bible said about a man named Samson in Judges 14:1, Samson went down to Timnath. Do you reckon? Come on, look up here. I'm talking about adventures. I'm talking about taking a risk. Do you think when old Samson said, well, I think I'll go down to Timnath, do you think that he saw 20 years later with his eyes put out and his feet in shackles on a Philistine mill grinding? Oh, I'm going to have me a real adventure. I'm going to find me a chick. Young people, listen up. I'm going to find a chick. And 20 years from now, you may find yourself on Satan's mill grinder. Do you think that he saw the Philistines burning his wife and his father-in-law with fire? Do you think that he saw his own nation turn against him and come and bind him and give him to the Philistines? Do you think that he saw himself with his head in Delilah's lap and the glory of God and the power of God departing from his life? That's the saddest story I've ever read in all my life in the Word of God.
Right.
There's a man that went through life with his eyes closed to the truth of God, and God had great plans for him. He was a Nazarite. But he laid his head in Delilah's lap. He said, I'll just go out as I always have. The Bible said that he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. I wonder when he said, I think I'll stroll down to Timnath and find a dish. His father and mother said, why do you want to find a wife of the Philistine? Are not the wives of your own people good enough? No, he said, I got to look for one of these foreign heifers. Let me ask you young people in here something. Is not a wife of the Baptist faith good enough for you? Not a husband of the Baptist faith good enough for you? Oh, I want to find one of these little girls that wear these dresses up to about long in here where you can look at their legs, and they wear them slits where you can look up their thighs and up their legs. I want them girls that's got tattoos on their back, and their bras pulled down where they reveal their whole body. Well, I like to see that flesh. Get married right, and you can legally look at all the flesh you ever want to look at.
Go ahead.
And the thing of it is, God will smile down on it and say, hallelujah, I've ordained it. Praise God, amen. I've ordained it. It's all right. It's
amen.
All right. The bed's undefiled. Amen, amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Unforeseen events, ladies and gentlemen, in them adventures. Now, I'm telling you, young people, you better be careful. I'm telling you, it takes just one mistake. And your life is shut.
Amen.
We've got divorced people in this church. Feller wrote me a letter the other day and said, why do you believe divorced people can't go to heaven? I said to myself, I said, that guy's an idiot. I don't believe that. I don't know what makes it. I don't know where people comes up with this stuff. But I will say this, that it'll limit what you can do in the
right.
house of God. It'll limit what you can do in the house of God. Don't make you second rate.
Amen.
By no means.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Loves you. God loves you. I'm going to tell you something else. Brother Hall loves you.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, there's certain things people like that can't do. And sometimes that mistake goes deeper than that, and it just destroys a whole life. I wonder how many young folks there are sitting over here at Madisonville to Hopkins County Jail because they just messed up one time. Take just one little drink. I wonder how many teenage and young souls are in hell because they had to have one more drink out of that bottle.
Right.
One more toke off of that weed. I'm talking about adventuresome. I'm talking about living a life that's full of adventures, buddy, and excitement. That's what I want. Get saved and live for God. You'll have all the excitement you can handle.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Unforeseen events. Then I say secondly, unfortunate endings.
Right.
Old Absalom said, I am going to be king. And I'm just going to get Ahithophel and Joab on my side, and I'm going to show that old man of mine. Son, I'm going to be king over Israel. He saw the glory, but he never saw the heartache. That's what a lot of men want to be called to preach. It's never been called to preach. They see the glory and they see the man of God up in front of people all the time, but they never see the heartache he goes through. And old Absalom led a rebellion. The Bible said, and Absalom rode upon a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, And he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule was under him, went away. Old Brother Roloff preached on, and the mule walked on. Oh, what an unfortunate ending.
Yes, sir.
Death and disgrace. Died hanging in a stinging oak tree. I wonder how many young people. I wonder how many young people have died in automobiles, not hanging in oak trees, but wrapped around them.
Amen.
Somebody told me that there was a member of this church not long ago out here on a country highway, a country road here in town, or in Hopkins County, on a country road, in an automobile running 140 miles an hour. An adult! That's stupidity!
Amen.
Go on and put your toe in the carburetor and be like Ev's. Instead of hanging in an oak, you'll be wrapped around an oak.
Amen.
I'm telling you, when I come in from Fort Sill, Oklahoma in 1965 at Christmas time, we were sitting at my father's house one night and heard a boom. We thought it was a wreck at the railroad track. What it was three men that I knew had come from Scottsburg, Indiana. And right south of Underwood, where a place where the old cannon factory used to stand, there was a little curve. And they went off the road and kind of sloped the hill. And that car went up like that and hit with its top into a evergreen tree of some kind. They pulled Dickie Smallwood and Leon Kirkpatrick and some other guy, and I forget his name, out in body bags. We heard the boom over a mile away. Oh, they went out for a venture. They wound up with their head in an oak tree. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, adventures will tug on your heart.
Right.
I want to see the world. Get saved and be a missionary. You'll see enough of it.
Right.
Amen. Now I'm done with this. I'll tell you another thing that'll tug on your heart. Useless endeavors.
Yes, sir.
People try to do this and try to do that, and it's just useless. The reason is they never put God first in their life. Anybody listen tonight? Who's tugging on your heart? Who or what is tugging on your heart? Let's stand together.